Hey,
Morning.
how you doing?
Doing well, thank you. That's 24, and we are going to start with the roll call. If you hear your name, if you could please just, sorry about that. If you could just please let me know that you're here, I would greatly appreciate it. All right. Mel Banta.
I am here and I want to update. Michael Boggs is attending via phone. He's not sure if he is going to be able to say while he's traveling, but he is here as well.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Adam Blakesley.
Sorry, couldn't get unmuted. Present.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Right. You said Michael is here on the phone. Thank you for that. Frank Cantone.
Present.
Thank you. Sean Chang.
Present.
Thank you. Then we have a few people who are not going to be able to make it today. Bethany Dixon. Jamie Dawes.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Hembury. Rose Howard.
Present.
Thank you. Kyle Carnuta.
Here.
Thank you, Ellie Crump Powers.
Yvonne, Ellie's not able to make it.
Okay. Thank you. Jeremy Cruiser.
Present.
Thank you. Sophie Lanches.
Present.
Thank you. Yalberto McCain. Christy Mahoney.
Hello, I'm here.
Thank you. David McDermott.
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you. PM Enders. Anne Morse.
Present.
Thank you. Kevin Phipps.
I'm here.
Thank you. Stephanie Rasu. Kate Supron.
I'm here.
Deb, oh, thank you.
Yep.
Deb Serene.
I'm here.
Thank you. Wendy Treat.
Present. Also,
Thank
Yvonne,
you.
did you catch Marcy Benda and Kevin Fitch, our new members, or were they not able to attend today?
Marcy, I think I just saw logged in, but had mentioned that she may not be able to make it. But I think I just saw her.
And Bethany actually just joined.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Let me finish and then I'll come back up.
All right.
Jana Van Houten.
I'm here.
Thank you. And Danielle Wearson. Awesome. Yeah, give me one second. Let me just update a couple things here. So Bethany came in. Awesome. Cool. All right, thank you everyone. All right, our next part of the agenda is the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayo Kono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayo Kono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayo Kono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayo Kono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. All right. The next thing is our approval of the December 4th minutes.
Can I make a motion to approve by unanimous consent?
Thank you, Rose. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. The minutes for the December 4th meeting have been approved by unanimous consent. We move on to the call for late additions to the agenda. Does anyone have anything that they would like to discuss during our open discussion? All right, seeing no topics, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next topic on our agenda, which is leadership changes. So I'm confident that y'all have seen, right, that there's have been a multitude of changes happening within the university leadership, from the interim president who, joined us this fall to the provost, and other positions that are changing. We did have the opportunity to connect with our liaison within HR, who is Christine Lovely. And she shared with us that there has been communication with the immediate teams who are within that division, team, department, and what that may look like as far as changes and working together. If anyone has any questions, any thoughts as to how that may impact you, of course, you can share them here. And at the same time, you can connect with your department leadership to fully understand what those changes potentially mean for you as a staff member. Does anyone have any thoughts on that particular topic? All right, seeing none, we'll continue to move on to the next topic, and that is UA representative. So as you all know, we hosted a series of coworker coffee where we connected with various constituents across Cornell University, particularly here in the Ithaca campus. And some of the conversation was in the sense of representation for the UAW, and what does that look like within the employee assembly. Now, we cannot necessarily represent them as a union, but they are staff members, right? And so we wanted to, I guess, like bring this topic to you all and see what were the thoughts about potentially creating a position that may better represent them. And at the same time, we do understand that there are two positions already representing areas where staff members are unionized. And I believe that is the facilities representative at large. And what was the other one? Yes, Wendy.
So it's actually the facilities and campus service rep, so Michael Box, and Kevin is the other one in the Division of Student and Campus Life. So both of those seats actually technically do represent UAW staff or a portion of them, because obviously Facilities and Campus Life has all our building care and groundskeepers and that sort of thing. And Student and Campus Life represents our dining service workers. Also Marcy Benda in the vet school, as the vet school representative, there's about 30 or so staff in the vet school hospital that would be represented by Marcy.
Thank you, Wendy. Yes, Kyle.
And I think I also cover some UAW employees as well through CALS, like the Botanic Garden staff, I think, are unionized. But I think a concern might be that there's like double representation potentially by having a new person, but at the same time, I know I am not able to reach everyone in my constituency group like I'd like to, and that includes the unionized staff. So if there are lift firms or like ways where we could tap into that network so that we could better communicate with them, then maybe we could do an even, like myself, I could do an even better job representing me.
Thank you, Kyle. Yes, Wendy.
So I'm just going to kind of take this and run with it for a little bit, Yvonne. I'm sorry. So the question is, Yvonne said it came up during a coffee with coworker of having a UAW representative actual like a designated seat on the EA. And while Kyle, you do bring up a really good point, like there might be double representation. I think all of us kind of might have some double representation. I mean, myself, I'm the exempt employee representative, but also I'm a woman. I'm more than 20 years of service and I work at the vet school. So I'm happy to discuss EA business with any one of those constituencies, even though my actual seat is exempt employee representative. As far as doing anything with this, I think, I don't know, Yvonne, if you were able to check with VP Lovely as to whether it would be a conflict of interest, but also we might want to reach out to the UAW themselves to see if this is something they actually want, rather than just going ahead and making a seat and then finding out they don't actually want to have a designated representative on the EA. And Stephanie, this actually does kind of come into play because it falls kind of under the elections committee. The last time we actually added any seats to the employee assembly, it was a resolution that was drafted by the elections committee chair at that time. So if it does come to that point, I'm happy to help with drafting a resolution.
Thank you, Wendy. So it sounds like we can definitely connect with someone from the UAW to gather this information, right? Like, is this something that is potentially helpful for them? And similarly, I can connect with our liaison, Christine Lovely, to inquire, is this something that we can do, right, as far as having a seat, particularly for EAW unionized workers? Yes, Kyle.
Just one more thing I wanted to uplift is that I think my understanding is UAW does a great job of organizing their people, communicating with their people, and also advocating on behalf of their people through the university, which is to some extent what we do as well. But, I mean, I know it's really different, but like high level, it's similar. So no matter what, I think it would be really awesome to have like more collaboration with UAW and potentially pick their brain on how they do what they do successfully, because I would love to learn.
Thank you, Kyle. Yes, Melissa.
I've been in the UAW, and I can say, speaking from that viewpoint, I don't feel it was the UAW was represented by employee assembly, nor were we sometimes get the information wasn't filtered to us. I understand there may be issues like they're not allowed. Maybe could they be a non-voting member and there's someone that's able to represent them and to kind of convey that communication to like building care and dining. I don't know if that's an option, but maybe that way those listservs could be created and that individual could convey, you know, to like the upper management in building care, and they could send out a newsletter with, hey, this is what's happening on the EA, so you're aware. And then the workers could choose to either read it or not read it.
Thank you. Thank you for that insight. Okay. Sounds like we can do a lot of things with this. So what I'll do then is I'll connect with UAW, someone from the UAW to inquire if this is something that is even the broader UAW employees need or want to even seek out. And then I'll connect with our liaison, Christine Lovely, as well in seeking some understanding on how does this play a role between, you know, like being represented at the EA and their union to ensure there's no conflict and that we can fully represent them as staff members who they are, right? And of course, that idea, that wonderful idea as well. So I'll we'll consider that when having these discussions. Thank you. We are going to move forward to the next topic, and that is TCAT and parking. I know that this topic has been brought up multiple times, and we continue to hear from various constituents the difficulties around transportation and completing their tasks, so even making it to work or leaving work, even as there's challenges with scheduling, particularly as it relates to TCAT. Without coming back to the initial discussion that we have already had, I wonder if anyone has any potential new information on your experience or your constituents' experiences with TCAD and or parking. And I guess I'll share too that in the, this could be an update I'm sure from Christy, but one of the things that we're hoping to work in the welfare committee as well is to focus, one of the topics to focus on is parking and transportation. We understand that this is a topic that is impacting many of us. So we want to prioritize that and focus in connecting with transportation services, and hopefully we can figure out a plan moving forward. Yes, Melissa.
I'm curious, are you going to create kind of a subcommittee to tackle some of this parking stuff? And if so, I'm more than happy to join kind of that subcommittee to help get information from my area and beyond if needed.
Yes, Melissa, that's exactly what we're doing. Christy, do you want to chat a little bit more about the focus that the group is taking?
Sure, I can do so now and then skip me during subcommittee updates. So the welfare committee has decided that we are going to pursue 2025 in a manner of primary focus areas or priority areas, the one being employee parking and transportation services transparency. Name of the subcommittee pending. Yvonne is chairing that subcommittee. The second committee we're holding right now, pending the results of a belonging and employee experience survey that will be released, we think, by HR in February. And we're going to connect with that team in March to see early indicators of what employee priorities have come out of that survey. And we will pick up a second priority area then. We're already in communication via Yvonne with transportation with some data requests. And Yvonne's pending a meeting with them, hopefully early January.
Thank you, Christy. And Melissa, thank you for offering to be in the committee and the subcommittee. And if anyone else is wanting to be in that subcommittee, feel free to, I guess, message me and we can connect and figure out how do we work together in all of this. All right, our next topic is the president's address to staff. So that is happening in January 9th. I'm not sure if everyone has seen the communication that came out, but let me pull it up real quick. So it's happening in person and virtual, so I guess hybrid, at the College of Veterinary Medicine in Lecture Hall 4. So that's kind of what's happening there. One of the things with that too, that is typically in relation to the president's address to staff, is the EA Appreciation Award. And this is something that it's an award that it's presented through the EA. And our timeline's a little bit tight right now. And I'll share the timeline with y'all. And then I would like to hear some thoughts if you have any. So right now, the timeline is that we'll share the information with you all and the nomination form as soon as this meeting concludes, because technically speaking, only EA members can submit nominations for this award. And the deadline to submit the nominations will be Friday, December 20th. So this Friday, since the end of the semester is happening then. And that is because we need to connect with HR to ensure that the individuals who are nominated are in good standing. And then from there, if we were to plan to ask the president to share who the award winners are, it would happen during the president's address in January 9th. So you can see how that kind of why that very tight timeline. So that's kind of the plan for now, but I wanted to hear any thoughts you might have. Do we think that's a reasonable timeline and we can work with that?
Question. Yeah.
Rose.
What we didn't talk about that I think will help people make an informed decision is how lengthy the nomination, because I have not actually paid attention to these before because I haven't been on the EI. Is it like, here's a name in one paragraph, or is it like we need three signed letters? Because I think that'll help people make an informed choice about whether this is possible.
Thank you, Rose. That's a great, great point. Wendy?
To answer Rose's question, is actually pretty informal. You indicate, and again, it is just an internal nomination just from the employee assembly. You would just indicate the group or, you know, individuals that you want to nominate and just a reasoning behind it. You don't need any letters of support or recommendation or anything like that. The other catch, though, is that once we get a nomination or decide who the awardee is, we do need to work with HR to ensure that all of the individuals are in good standing with the university.
Yes, Anne.
Thank you. Is this award usually given to one individual, multiple, a group of individuals? Could you just give us a sense of past winners? Thank you.
Yes, Wendy.
I will share a link in the chat, but it is on our website of winners, and typically it is a group of individuals or a department or something like that. But it is on our website under awardee award, that sort of thing.
Yes, Melissa?
So I guess I'm new to all of this. Is this something that we nominate, or is this open to all of our staff members to nominate? I guess that's where I just want a little clarity too. I know I have a lot of people that are already leaving for the holiday, so.
Absolutely. So to your question, that is specifically members, representative voting members of the EA who submit nominations. Yes, Wendy, or were you? Is that what you were?
I was just going to share that. So I just put the link in the website, in the chat, for the Employee Assembly Appreciation Award. And it is given to a group of employees who in the past year have gone above and beyond in their support of the university. Nominations are accepted from Employee Assembly members only, and the winner is selected internally by the Employee Assembly. And you can see, and to your question, the past recipients.
Thank you, Wendy. I have another question. Who's then in the position of having to like look through all of these things and make the, like who's offering to take on that work and do it? Because that's also, I think, important.
Yes, Wendy.
In the past, it's all of us, Rose. It's a nomination that's done internally. Once we have the nominations, we all review it and we rank, you know, give our feedback and provide on that. Last year, we happen to only have one nominee, so they won by default.
Yes, Melissa?
I'm hoping this is my last question. Do we have any other larger events that we are aware of upcoming, since this deadline is so tight, that we could move this award to? Or is this really the only opportunity we potentially have?
No, this is not the only opportunity. The only change, it would be that it wouldn't be presented during the president's address to the staff, right? In the past, that has been when it's presented. And I think it's really nice to be recognized during such a speech, right? And also from the president to the nominees and then award winners. But there's nothing in our bylaws that say that we cannot push it to a different timeline, that we cannot do a different type of celebration if we need to and want to. So this is just one timeline that I'm sharing with y'all. And of course, right, if y'all have any other thoughts on this timeline seems unreasonable because of the length in time, that's completely fine. We can work on a different one. Hence, we're here having this conversation. So in other words, there were some questions, right, about to understand this a little bit better. I wonder if now that I hope that those questions have been answered, This seems like a reasonable timeline, you know, being able to submit nominations by this Friday. And then there's also nothing in our bylaws that mandates that we all have to participate in the selection of the winner. If this is something that, you know, the rest of the EA doesn't have the capacity to do because we won't be in session until January 15, then I'm confident that this is something that as the executive committee, we can review and make sure that there is someone who would be awarded this award. Yes, Anne.
Thanks. This, with the president announcing it and with just the Cornell coverage that accompanies it, it does seem like an opportunity for the EA to make a statement or not, or send a message. The discussion of union came out, we were talking about earlier. I'm wondering if there's other themes or other groups from the past year that have come up in the meetings that we would want to support.
Sorry, I don't know that I understood your question.
So are there things that have come up in the EA in the past year? We in the resolutions, people or groups that we have wanted to support. And we were talking, I'm wondering if this is an opportunity to do that. And we were talking about union employees at the beginning of this meeting. And would that be a, you know, would we present it to a group like that? I'm just raising how the award is. I'm looking back at the past list and it looks like we celebrated the COVID team and there's certain themes that seem to have come up, and then there's some very specific things like the Einhorn Center that was awarded this award.
Thank you for your question. Yes, Wendy?
Just to go off of that, Anne, I'm not sure it's a matter of supporting a group. It's more like recognizing a group that has gone above and beyond. So as far as like the UAW, yes, those staff members go above and beyond pretty much like every day and to go through that. But I think that's a separate conversation because the UAW representative that we were thinking of having on the EA or join the EA was just so that there would be some representation here. But also do keep in mind that the individuals that are nominated and are recipients, again, it has to go through HR to make sure everyone's in good standing. So some of these groups, it's pretty big, like building care. I'm not quite sure if that was before my time on the EA. So I'm not quite sure how they vetted everyone that's in building care or anything like that. But yeah, it was, sometimes it is geared toward bigger, more community or campus wide things. Sometimes it was toward smaller groups, but again, it's a nomination from one of us for a group that we feel has gone and done an exceptional, you know, exceptional job in the past year.
Thank you, Wendy. Yes, Kyle.
I think I have a follow-up from Anne's question to see what I can fully understand this. Does the group need to be formal? Like, I'm thinking about nominating a group from the Indigenous Studies Department because they've had to deal with recruiting post the affirmative action court case, and they've been a great partner of the EA this year. But like the individuals that I've worked with are not collectively part of a group together, I don't think. But they're all somehow related to the Indigenous Studies Department.
That's a great question. It's a little bit more complicated. I don't know that I have the answer for that. Jessica?
Sure. I just thought it might be helpful for people to know that this is a very ad hoc process. This award is not one that has any real structure. This is just for the EA as a body to say, we appreciate this group, whatever group. It could even be a person. I don't recall that it has to be a group. There's not really any official guidance for the award, but typically it's a group because of course you're trying to recognize staff. So it's very informal. It's for EA members to say, hey, we appreciate these employees and we're gonna recognize them
and it will be at our premier event, which is the president's address to staff. So it's not, they don't, you know, unless you all decide it has to be an official group or it has to be a group of this size or that size, or it has to be, you know, the process, the decisions are all yours. It can be as informal or formal as you want. It's been very different over the years since I was first elected on the EA in 2019, and members who were on before me can probably tell you it was very different in their time. So it's all up to you. And it can be done differently. You don't have to do it at president's address to staff. You could set up, like Yvonne said earlier, you could decide you want to have a reception just for this particular award or for all your awards or whatever you want. It's up to you. I hope that helps.
Yes, Kyle.
Sorry, I will lower.
Dave?
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say out loud what I put in the chat, that it should probably be someone besides what's in the Employee Excellence Awards that we just had. Mm-hmm. There are a number of groups who were nominated and awarded from that. Thank you.
Yes, Wendy?
So also just for the clarification, Dave, yes, you make a really good point. It is standalone and separate from the President's Award for Employee Excellence. And again, to address Kyle's concern, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a department. If you have a group of individuals from Indigenous Studies that you would like to recognize or nominate for this, put that list together and nominate them. I mean, that they could be in different departments across campus, but if they're all working towards a common goal and they've gone above and beyond, then I think that would be sufficient enough to do that. And yeah, I get the clap hand icon. Wonderful.
Awesome. So the question seemed to be about clarity of the event, or sorry, about the award. But it sounds like there's not necessarily a question on the timeline. So we're going to go ahead and follow that timeline then. So after this meeting, you're going to receive an email with a little bit more information about how to submit a nomination and the timeline, which is, of course, the deadline will be in this Friday, December 20th. And then from there, we may reach out again for any other support with the award nomination. And we expect to be able to announce that award during the president's address to staff in January 9th. Our next topic of conversation is the dual verified push. So I'm confident that y'all received an email towards the end of November, I believe, that announced that there was going to be some changes with Duo Mobile, how you log in essentially to your Cornell computer software, and you have to now enter a code. So the concern was really raised from a standpoint of there may be some employees who do not have access to a smartphone. Right? Like, how do we enter the additional code to ensure that we are securely logging in? So I connected with IT, and the thing that they shared is actually in their webpage, and I can share that information as well when I sent out the information about the nominations. And so there's two different ways that you can, in a sense, bypass that. The thing with that is that it costs money potentially to purchase one of these items that is not a smartphone. And with that being said, if you or any of your constituents are in this position where they do not have a smartphone or a different way to be able to log into their dual mobile securely to connect with their supervisor or their department, because those are items that, although they do cost money, if it's something related to their job, it's something that they can have a conversation on and potentially, I'm not saying that it will be, but it could potentially be covered by your department. So something to have a conversation a little bit more on an individual basis, if that's something that it's that comes up as a challenge. All righty, the next item is our committee and liaison reports. From the executive committee. There's, again, we're going to send the awards information, so keep an eye out for that. Don't forget the president's address to staff happening January 9th. And then our next meeting is not going to happen until January 15th. Yeah, that's all I have for now with that. Communications, outreach, and recognition, Rose.
I just sent an email and then it didn't go out. So then I resent it. So hopefully everyone on the communications committee got my email this morning. Did everybody get, can anyone tell me if they got that email? Okay, good. So as you can see, one of those things was wrong. I just quick summarize. Basically, we haven't met in a while. I did reach out to Kristen, who's been arranging a bunch of stuff related to George Peters, and there was already a meeting on the calendar for the subcommittee for the 17th. So we talked about weaving together the next full meeting of our subcommittee then. And then if we need a separate meeting, we can do that. And I have access to the email builder. So I'm going to be building out the reminder to the president's address. I'm probably sending that out either the second or third so that everyone can get an update before the 9th from the EA directly. And everything's been looking good. So hopefully we can just connect in the new year and kind of plan out what we're doing and really catch up from not having had a chair.
Thank you, Rose. Employee Education and Development Committee, Deb.
Sorry, 1 second. I'm going to open my camera too so you guys can see me. There we go. All right, so we met last week and we are just reviewing our goals to see if they align with things that we're hearing. We're kind of in a bit of a holding pattern with kind of a direction at this point because we're waiting to see what's going to happen with the bachelor's professional program. And that is moving through the process of being voted on. So that's good news that it's going through its channels. So right now we're really focusing on our ex officio members, a representative from benefits. Let me just look at my list here. We have a couple others that we're looking at. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. It's just building up this team and then really looking at what we want to focus on for the coming year.
And thank you, Deb.
Thank you.
We already heard from the employee welfare. Thank you, Christy. Benefits and Policy Committee, Bethany.
Can you all hear me okay? I'm not quite used to this mic yet. Okay, great. Thank you. So we talked about the recent policy updates. One of them was the floating holiday policy, which all of you saw come out. If you have any questions about that, feel free to send them my way or to join the next meeting and we can, you know, try to provide any confusion or feedback to our HR liaisons there. We also talked about a question that was passed along from the Employee Welfare Committee, which was about the concerns or questions about possible wage compression for the UAW members who have received increases. And now there are some, like specifically this was in Cornell Dining, there are some dining employees who are curious about if their banded positions are now equivalent to or lower than those with responsibilities in lower bands than their roles, how the wage compression may be eventually addressed or any updates that Central HR might be able to give about that. So basically the HR liaisons, Ashley and Jess just said, yep, we are aware of these questions and we'll be sure to try and share any sort of plans as soon as we're able to share anything concrete. But again, I guess if there's similar questions that you're hearing about in your constituents, feel free to share them or to join one of the benefits and policy committee meetings. I think that's it.
Thank you, Bethany. Elections Committee, Stephanie.
Yes, thank you. So I did, as a chair, recently met with Office of Assemblies to go through the tentative or draft election schedule for spring. So I did just have that meeting last week, and I'm working on setting up a meeting with the rest of the committee to go over those recommendations and discussion. And then we hope to, once that is finalized, we hope to possibly in the January, but maybe the first February meeting is to bring that to the rest of the EA to talk through those proposals.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephanie. Liaison reports. Does anyone as a liaison have anything to share?
Faculty Senate started by reminding their members about proper decorum for faculty Senate meetings. And then there was a further discussion about the Joel Molina censure and an amendment to the original proposal about that. And then a discussion about whether it needed to continue or not because he is resigning and whether it's just punitive at this point. And then there was a lot of discussion, and that's about all they got done.
Thank you. All right, seeing no other liaison reports, open discussion. Is there any particular topic or anyone wants to talk about during the open discussion period?
Real quick, and you know, parking is always fun. And I already discussed some ideas in the last meeting, but for Yvonne, when you do get to talk to them or in general, my concern is that in the morning, people who park in a lot have to get there early enough to try to catch a bus and then to get to campus. So in addition to having to drive however far, because most of us can't afford to live in Ithaca, we're still having to get to that lot almost an hour before our scheduled work time. And we're not getting paid for that time. So the amount of time we're having to be here to get to our job without getting paid, not to mention after to get to our vehicle, this is all time required for the function of our job that we're not getting paid for. And I don't know if that angle has been taken or not in any of these discussions.
Thank you. Make sure to bring that up during our meeting. Yes, Wendy.
I second exactly what Danielle just said. Same thing. I park at the vet school and would have to get here by a certain time. I'm parking way out in the middle of nowhere kind of thing. But my comment is actually regarding the president's just the staff. It's just a reminder. This is a really good opportunity that, I mean, interim president Kalikoff will give, you know, a brief address, but then there's also Q&A. And we have his attention for a good half an hour. So talk to your people and talk to everyone that you need to. And either whether they're here in person or they submit a question online, this is our opportunity to, we have his attention, you know, so it's really our opportunity. And I really, you know, to talk and get some information or details or address anything that we might have on our head. And, you know, just make sure that we make good use of the time.
Thank you, Wendy. Jeremy?
Yeah, I just wanted to, little historical reference. The last time we addressed parking, one of the thoughts that came up as part of the, because there are significant delays between arriving at parking and getting to your job, particularly for hourly workers who have to be clocked in at a specific time. One of the suggestions that I made at the time was that we allow hourly employees to clock in at the bus station, leaving the responsibility for the time between arriving at the parking lot and getting to your place of employment on the employer, which is Cornell. Of course, that didn't go anywhere, but I still think it's a reasonable thing to keep on the table as a, you have no control over that period of time. That is purely under the control of Cornell, and therefore is Cornell's responsibility.
Thank you, Jeremy. Bethany?
I just forgot to say, and thank you so much for bringing up the the open discussion period that in the Benefits and Policy Committee meeting, Ashley Fazio also asked if those of us there had any items that we had sort of top of mind that we might want to ask in the president's address to staff. And so I would just again say that if anyone does have things that they're really hoping to ask, just keep that in mind because it is a really valuable time. And something I brought up, which I really am curious to ask about, is how the president might be planning to address possible threats to DEI work in the new administration, if or changes, just different things that may sort of require Cornell's organization of its DEI work, and how they're sort of planning to address that. I spoke with Erin Sember Chase at a really great recent event, and she was sharing just a bit about how she felt like she wished it were being talked about more, just to sort of acknowledge how stressful the pending possible changes might be. So just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bethany. Danielle?
You have a question about streetlights. I see Cornell has them, but I don't know when they're on. Because when I leave at 4:30 and it's dark and all the kids in their black and gray jackets are wandering into the street, I can't see anybody. So I'm wondering who sets the policy on what time our streetlights come on? Because I think it's a major safety issue during the darker months for arriving and especially departing campus with such low visibility, in addition to kind of the general headphones on, face and phone behavior of our students. So is there somebody we can talk to say, hey, if we know most people get out at 4:30, can we make sure the lights are on by then? At least if it's dark at 4:30.
Thank you for that. Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I will share that there is a, I don't know what the title of it is, but there is a light survey that happens at least once a semester. It's supposed to be, you know, individuals participating and walking around campus at night, essentially when the lights are supposed to be on, and identifying what locations need better lighting. With that said, I don't know that the changes have actually been implemented, but that's a different question as far as like the timing of when the lights turn on. I'm not entirely sure who would be able to answer this question other than facilities or risk management, I'm thinking. So we can reach out to them and see what information we get. Yes, Melissa.
I may have a connection for that lighting crew. I'm not sure. I'll work on typing him an email right now and I'll get back to you, Ivan, if I hear anything.
Ivan, thank you.
This is Michael Box here. Ivan?
Ivan, yes.
Ivan.
This is Michael Box here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can send that to me because our department, we're utilities, so we take care of most of those. And all those tickets come into us, and our line crew takes care of it. So whoever that was that spoke about it, if you can give us a specific location, because these are fed out of dozens and dozens of buildings and have various controls on them. So there's always being reported a lights out or controls out or what have you. So send that to me, and I can forward it along, and then I can get that committee name for you that does the light survey.
Will do. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, it's MPB4.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael. Yes, Dave.
Oh, hey. Just thank you for bringing that topic up about the lighting. Gosh, I was down at Fall Creek around 5 o'clock and I couldn't see anybody crossing a pedestrian, unrelated. But no, I wanted to bring up, this is kind of different. I've been noticing, I'm lucky enough to park in the C lot by Friedman Wrestling. And I can't believe the number of bumper stickers I'm seeing that says, please be patient, student driver, but they're on, not the bumper, but like on the sides of the vehicle and in like weird places. And I saw one vehicle had three of them on them, on both sides of the car and on the back, and then several other cars. So I emailed the Cornell police a couple of days ago, and they said they haven't gotten any reports about it. But I just thought it was so odd that I should mention it, because I don't want to have, my car is a couple years old. I don't want to have it pranked by a bumper sticker on a side panel. So I don't know. Just thought I'd mention that.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. If you learned anything else, please feel free to share it with the rest of the team.
Okay.
It could be staff that have their kids are using their car to learn, because those stickers are becoming more prevalent in use. I know I just taped a big old sign on my window because the stickers didn't exist then, but I am seeing more people using them. So it's probably, hopefully, just something innocent like that, where they just not taking them off when the kids aren't driving them. But I am curious if people are pranking, that would be a big problem.
Thank you.
Any other items to discuss during our open discussion? All right, seeing none, I welcome a motion to conclude our meeting. Yes, Wendy.
You know, we'll do it. Motion to adjourn.
By unanimous consent.
Unanimously yes, seconded.
Unanimous consent. Yeah.
Danielle, did you second that?
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here today. Our meeting is adjourned at 12:52 p.m. I hope everyone has a great rest of your day, and enjoy your holidays and a break. Get some rest, y'all. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye.